My guest is Knight's regular. He's the chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative, Eric Crampton. And tonight he's casting his eye over media funding and regulation. Kia ora, Eric, and welcome back to Knight's.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. This is a pretty big topic to tackle, I would suggest. So what's prompted you to want to have a look at media funding?
Well, Canada is often a good example of what not to do, and I've been forced to have to deal with the Canadian government again, and it's made me a little grouchy about Canada. So this is just absurd, right? So my kids are Canadian by virtue of birth, or at least they're eligible for Canadian citizenship. They're mm-hmm. both born here. They only ever lived here. But as far as the Canadian government's concerned, I'm not allowed to enter Canada with them unless they have a Canadian passport. So right. they're too Canadian to enter Canada except on a Canadian passport. But they're not Canadian enough to get a Canadian passport. To get a Canadian passport, they have to get a certificate of Canadian citizenship. And that process is designed to keep people out who don't really belong there, not to make an easy path through for people who are just accidentally Canadian. Mm. So I've been annoyed by Canadian bureaucracy for the past few months, and it's made me look back at some of the messes that Canada has been up to and things that we should be learning on what not to do, because we're following them in one of these. Mm.
So basically, you're wanting to take your children back to Canada, and you effectively can't do that because they haven't got the right certificate before the passport.
Well, we're getting it sorted out now. So you can get an emergency passport while your citizenship application is in progress if you've demonstrated that you have paid for travel, but they also recommend that you not pay for travel until you have your passport. But you can't get the emergency passport without having demonstrated that you paid for the travel.
Right.
So it's one of those wonderful Canadian things. But it looks like I hope it sorts. I'll be going to the High Commission tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that all sorts. But I'm a little annoyed at the Canadian government and hope that New Zealand avoids some of the mistakes that Canada's been making lately.
Right. So where do we go from there with regard to the media funding?
Well, Canada has... Canada got the idea that it could lean on Google and Facebook and make them pay for the provision of Canadian news. So they were kind of following an Australian example there, but they've done it in a slightly more ham-fisted way. And some of the economics of platforms and media have changed in the interim, and it's all fallen to pieces for them. I'd had a chat recently. He's an internet law expert over there, and he's been following this very closely. So we'll go through some of the messes that Canada's got itself into and how New Zealand is following just down the exact same path. But it drives me nuts because I left Canada to get away from particular bits of Canadian stupidity, and it's just depressing when we seem determined to follow them in some of them.
Right. Well, I know David Seymour spent a lot of time in Canada, so it might get more of that as the year rolls on. Yes. So what
he came back? There are minor things that Canada gets right, but there are a few really big things that New Zealand gets right. The rest of the world, especially Canada, gets wrong. GST, theirs is riddled with holes. Ours is perfect. We shouldn't be messing with it. We're considering messing with it. But on the media funding one. They set legislation that would, I guess we'll step back a little bit on where the problem comes from, because it's international. It's not just Canada and it's not just New Zealand. It's kind of everywhere. So as a potted history, we had this era where it was kind of a golden age. Newspapers were making mint on classified advertising. That cross-subsidized everything else they did. So people paid a trivial subscription fee to the newspaper that was mostly funded by the classified ads. Mm-hmm. People would pay to put the ads in the classifieds. People would buy the newspapers that they'd be able to read the classifieds. And all of that subsidized pretty good journalism. Mm-hmm. Now, in the U.S., eBay came along and took out first Craigslist and then eBay took out the classified ads part. In New Zealand, it is Trade Me. Mm. Canada has had its own mix, but first the classified ad revenues go away. Then the newspapers discover that internet search engines are a lot better at connecting advertisers with people who might want to buy things than newspapers are on their own. And that disintermediation meant that some of the revenue that had been going to newspapers, because newspapers were the best way for advertisers to reach willing eyeballs in a lot of cases, that went away. And newspapers found, to their kind of horror, that a lot of people don't really want to pay that much for news, that there isn't that much interest in the news. There's a few people, like hopefully our listeners here tonight, and I know I am. I pay for a lot of different newspapers, but we're rare. There aren't that many, right? Real willingness to pay for actual news, perhaps not that high. There are some subscription models that have been working, but it's not being able to fund the scale of news that we used to have during that kind of golden age when the classifieds and all the ads were bundled in with the newspapers. So the response that Canva has taken on this one has been to try to find somebody other than government to pay to make up the difference. There's a non-crazy public interest case for the government to somewhat subsidize news in one way or another. There are benefits for a more educated population, and especially in an election year, it's good for people to know basically what's going on so that they don't vote wrong, not meaning that there's one party that's better than another in that sense, but more that you've got a pretty good idea of what each party has on offer, the likely consequences of that, and whether you think that's a good thing or not. So having a good handle on that requires paying attention to the news.
So you're saying that the economic model for media is kind of on its last legs, and outlets as well as governments are looking, you know, at ways of saving what's considered for public good.
The old model broke. Some new outlets have been managing well with online subscription models. New outlets have been coming up that have been doing well, but legacy media has been having a harder time of it. They've been late in getting towards paywalls. Those are now come through properly in New Zealand, but they were late in getting towards those kinds of models, and it's just not giving the revenues that advertising once gave. So there can be some kind of case for government support one way or another, but if we think... There's kind of a parallel in treatment of news and treatment of culture more generally. And we'll maybe segue a little bit on that, just on how Canada just has messed up thinking about some of these issues. And New Zealand got that one right. So it's a shame that we're kind of following Canada. So stepping away from news briefly to get into funding of culture, New Zealand has a general model that if the government thinks that more New Zealand cultural content should be produced than people would voluntarily pay for, then you just run various subsidy schemes. So you fund Creative New Zealand or New Zealand On Air to fund the production of New Zealand cultural works. And there's been some decent television that's come out of it. I really enjoyed Creamery. There's some other great stuff. Almighty Johnson's was great a few years ago. But Canada's approached it in an entirely different way. So Canada figured, okay, rather than having the government pay for this, like they subsidize the CBC, which is the equivalent of like TV1 Radio New Zealand, but it's ad-free in Canada. They, instead of running a subsidy model, they've largely run it through a Canadian content regulation model. Like they still have some subsidy schemes, but under their regulation models, if you want to broadcast things over the airways, you're compelled to air at least a sufficient proportion of what they consider to be Canadian content. So rather than having it an explicit budget item for the government, so you raise money in whatever seems the most efficient way, and then you try and divvy it up for cultural production in whatever seems the best way, they just compel the broadcasters to provide it. And now they're trying to bring that over into the internet realm. So they're trying to put the same kind of rules on streaming content providers and podcasters. And that's providing its own nightmare, right? So YouTube is going to come under this. They're going to have to find some way of figuring out what counts as Canadian content. It's going to be a nightmare. So Canada has like this really weird approach to these kinds of things where rather than just having taxpayers pay for things through the government, if there's some reasonable public purpose, they want to have some weird regulatory forced cross subsidy from somebody else. And they're following that approach in media funding. So rather than having a transparent thing like the Public Interest Journalism Fund here, or the Local Democracy Fund that we've got, both of which are sort of government ways of supporting production of more news content. They've been leaning on Meta and Facebook. Meta is Facebook, Meta and Google. The underlying theory that they've had is, well, because these guys are the ones making money off of ads now, they somehow owe compensation to the newspapers, which is a little bit weird. It's like saying that car manufacturers owe compensation to buggy whip manufacturers, right? it's kind of a nonsense. But it's also based on this idea that, like, Canada's newspapers managed to convince themselves and then some of their cultural elite readers and then the government that somehow the platforms are stealing from the newspapers by linking to them. Mm. Now, the whole internet is based on the principle of links are free, but you can put up a paywall if you want, right? You go back to ARPANET, 1970s, links are all free, open internet. Get into the 80s and 90s, all free, open internet. People can put up like a little file on their website that would stop scraping if they didn't want a search engine to index it. But that was up to the website to decide. Mm-hmm. Now, the Canadian government figured that, okay, the platforms are somehow stealing from the newspaper by providing links, which is still weird because in a lot of other contexts, people pay to have links to them, all right? Mm. So they convinced themselves that this was true and that the platforms are just making a big bucket of money from news content for the newspapers. And so they figured they could tax it away. And they had a lot of warnings along the way. This wasn't going to go well, that the basic economics of this weren't stacking up, that Facebook in particular really doesn't like it when people click out of Facebook. So if you put up news in your Facebook feed and people click on the link to the news in your Facebook feed, they're leaving Facebook and they're no longer seeing Facebook ads. Facebook wants you to keep reading stuff from your crazy uncle and whatever, or seeing pictures of your cousin's kids. They don't want you leaving the site. News links are outlinks. Mm. So
they take you away. They take you away from Facebook. Yep.
Well, exactly. Yep. So it doesn't really stack up to try and make Facebook pay for something that isn't really benefiting them, because they can comply with the legislation by saying no. Now, the problem with the Canadian legislation was that you came under its purview simply by facilitating access to news for Canadians. So if you're a platform that provided links, you were subject to it. If you're Facebook and somebody puts up a link to news and that link is seen by Canadians, then Facebook is potentially liable for it, even though they had no role in anybody putting up that link. All of it made it really risky for those platforms. And in Facebook's case, or Meta, they saw how this was going to play out, that they could get really no certainty about what kind of liability they were going to have out of all of this, because they were meant to negotiate with the newspapers. And if the negotiations didn't go well, then it was going to go to binding arbitration with final offer selection. And what binding arbitration with final offer selection means is that the platform would put up its offer saying, well, we think it's fair that we pay this much, and that could be zero. And the newspapers could put up their view of what is a fair offer, and that could be like $100 billion. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. And the arbitrator would have to choose which one of those offers they thought was the fairest one. Now, that's really unbounded risk from the platform side. They've got no way of telling what the liability is going to be and no way of offsetting it. In the regulations that have come out recently, the government figures that it could get about 4% of the platform's entire ad revenue in Canada through this scheme. And that gives a bit of a benchmark, and that'd be on top of the taxes they're already paying. Mm-hmm. It's right to worry about the amount of tax that they are paying. That's part of multilateral negotiations through the OECD. That's its own separate thing. But a 4% tax on revenue rather than on profit is pretty substantial, and a good reason to say, well, the best way of avoiding all of this is simply to stop providing news in Canada. So Facebook started this in July, August. First, they started testing it. It looked kind of like this is a shot across the bow warning, but it was also a test bedding of the systems, making sure that they could block access to news links for Canadian viewers.
And of course, all this this went wrong when the wildfires, is that right, across Canada, and well, Facebook groups couldn't communicate with each other.
Well, Facebook groups still could communicate with each other, but you can't link to news.
Right. Okay.
You could still link to official government sources, but you wouldn't be able to link to news reporting on it because just the automatic algorithm is going to say, oh, that's a link to news. So right. That's not going to work anymore. And that's a big problem, right? So I know during the Christchurch earthquakes, we were all on Twitter,
yes,
getting news that way, linking to news, telling each other what was happening. But Facebook saw this as, if we let people link to news, we have no clue how much money we're going to be on the hook for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too risky. So they decided to pull the pin on it.
Is there any sign that they're backing down? Has it been like that ever since those wildfires a month or so back?
Oh, the news blocks from Facebook started, yep, a little bit earlier, and they've just continued.
Right.
Google has said that they're going to be blocking news from December when the legislation takes proper effect. It's always a little unclear just when you might wind up being liable to the thing, but Google figures it's safe to wait until December. And that also gave them room, or at least this is in the reporting from Michael Geist on it.
Mm.
Anybody who wants to follow this stuff, just look up Michael Geist's Substack. He's superb. He's prof at the University of Ottawa. I'd had a podcast with him on the New Zealand Initiatives podcast series about a month ago, where we just chatted through some of the messes going on there. And I was just having nightmares again of just how dumb Canadian policy can be.
So is this happening? Are you suggesting this is about to happen with the government plan, yes, for New Zealand?
The New Zealand has passed legislation through first reading that does exactly what Canada has done.
Mm-hmm.
It, like the letter, the act is not line for line identical, but the basic premise is the same and the basic problem is the same. So during the lead up to this, the Ministry of Culture and Heritage, they commissioned a report from, I think it was Saperi that did it for them, that the report commissioned by the government on all of this stuff said that newspapers gain a lot out of links, that it's valuable to them to have these links in. They get a lot out of it. So it's kind of nonsense to say that it's just stealing from newspapers.
Mm.
But the government here put in legislation that has the same basic features of requiring negotiation first with newspapers, then going to binding offer selection, but also with there's a provision that if the minister thinks that you've done enough to fund news media or to set up like journalism training programs or other things, then the minister can give you an exemption. So, well, the minister, the BSA, the Broadcasting Standards Authority, is going to be administering it. They can give you an exemption for 5 years, but nobody knows what's going to be considered enough. And, well, Willie Jackson's been the minister in charge, and it's always a little uncertain what it's going to take to please Willie.
Mm. So you don't
it's
think
it's risky.
You don't think, based on the Canadian example, it's not going to work? Or end up having the opposite of the desired effect, perhaps, even?
Well, yeah. So the effect in Canada has been devastating for small media outlets, those that had relied substantially on distribution through Facebook because they didn't have a big independent presence. So independent media outlets that relied on Facebook, especially smaller ones. Well, you can question whether it was a good idea for them to rely on Facebook that much in the first place, but they've been hammered by it. And now the lobbyists in Canada who had pushed really hard for the legislation that would tax Google and Meta to give money to them, they've seen just this massive decline in their revenues because they're not getting these click-throughs from Facebook anymore. They're not getting the ad revenues anymore. So now they've gone to the Canadian government. They've asked for a subsidy to make up for the revenue losses because of Bill C-18. It's just fail in every direction, right? It's reduced access to news. It's worsened disinformation problems because if you block people from having access to official news through these platforms, well, they're just left with whatever crazy uncle is saying on Facebook, right? So that's not so hot.
Yeah.
It's hurting a lot of the small independent operators that the whole thing was meant to help. And as far as Michael Geist is able to tell, if the scheme goes ahead as planned and manages to collect any revenue, the one that's going to get the most revenue out of it is Canada's CBC.
Mm-hmm.
But they're government funded to start with. They're not as dependent on ads.
Can you think of a solution that doesn't end up with the news outlets, the little ones particularly, closing down?
Not pursuing this kind of mechanism is a great start. I hope that the any incoming government of whatever stripe lets this bill just die on the order paper. Things like the Public Interest Journalism Fund make more sense than trying to tax Google or Facebook or some unrelated service for the provision of news. But really, it's a difficult underlying problem. Like, you can subsidize news all you like, but you can't make people read it. And whatever surveys you want to see on civic knowledge wind up being pretty depressing. People have pretty limited understanding of what's all going on and don't pay all that much attention to things that seem kind of basic and necessary for news gathering or for being able to cast an informed ballot. So American surveys are easier to come by. New Zealand's aren't that much better when you find them.
You've said New Zealand On Air is a pretty straightforward way of funding the media. Should we just focus on that?
Well, we can look at those models, but we can also remind, well, there have been lots of subscription-based services that seem to be doing pretty well. So Business Desk seems to do very well. I rely on them heavily. They're kind of a must-read. News Talk now has a new subscription-based online platform. Those subscription models can work. I've toyed with a different kind of idea, though. It's a bit out there and just tentative. I don't know whether it would work or not. But if the basic problem is that there just isn't that much demand for news, I wonder whether government could do better by encouraging greater demand for news rather than trying to subsidize the production of it. So I don't know whether I'm serious about it or not. I have to think through it a little bit more. But do you remember the era in which you'd have like radio stations calling you, like your FM radio station, and if you gave the word of the day in the morning when you answered the phone, you'd get a prize?
Yep. The lucky $5 note.
The government's spending an awful lot of money on subsidizing media. Now, if you took like a small fraction of that and turned it into like a daily $50,000 prize for your lucky caller who answers today's, like what was just basically in the news today, right? You get a call at 7 at night. What was the big story of the day? Just give a multi-choice question. Hey, free money. Now, it wouldn't cost that much in the grand scheme of things, but can you imagine how embarrassed you'd be if like you could have had a huge amount of money relative to household budget, but you just hadn't bothered to read the newspaper that day and you could have had that free money? People might start paying a little bit more attention because like you might think that elections are these big high stakes things and everybody wants to pay attention to the news for the election. But if you vote wrong, it doesn't make any difference. The likelihood that your vote changes the outcome is nil. You might as well buy a lotto ticket. The chance of missing out on the daily call, though, that'd sting.
Eric, great to chat. Thank you so much for your insight there. And we look forward to doing it again. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.